My guest Charles Simic has published more than a dozen books of poetry. His new one is called Jackstraws. He's also contributed a poem and an autobiographical essay to a new anthology called Letters of Transit. Five authors reflect on exile, identity, language, and loss. Simic was born in 1938 in Belgrade, Yugoslavia. He came to America when he was 15. He won the Pulitzer Prize for his 1989 book, The World Doesn't End, and he's the editor of a book of Serbian poetry called The Horse Has Six Legs. I wanted him to read some of his own very American poetry, as well as get his thoughts on the current situation in Kosovo. Charles Simic, welcome to Fresh Air.
Very nice to be here.
I'd like to begin by asking you to read a poem from your new book, Jackstraws. It's called On a Lack of Respect Paid to the Ceiling.
All of you bummed out and in a deep funk, ornery, spiteful mopes with your noses dragging the floor, you are not giving proper reverence and esteem to the imperious, the ever-looming, rarely remembered and scrutinized overseer of all your goings-on. There may be a green dragonfly just now consulting its dainty shadow, the excited movement of leaves, the mystery of light changing, or there may be nothing there to see. Note, please, how quiet the world gets when you roll your eyes back and look.
That poem seems typical to me of your work in the sense that it takes a very simple idea, the notion of something we take for granted, the ever-present ceiling over our heads, and explores it from a number of different angles, yielding an emotional insight. Can you remember why the ceiling occurred to you as an organizing image for that poem?
Ceilings are, as I say in this poem, I mean, they're kind of invisible in a sense. And the only time one remembers to look at the ceiling is when one is exasperated or inspired or something unusual happens. One throws up one's hands and there is the ceiling. And then you say, my God, you know, how did that water stain get there? So yes, I mean this has been a constant subject with me to discover obvious places that are, you know, around us, but are not for some reason noticed.
Now, you're a Serb who came to America from Yugoslavia when you were 15, I think, around the time of World War II. What do you remember about your life around that time during that war?
Well, lots of things. Obviously, I was born in 1938, and my conscious life sort of begins in a big way on April 6th, 1941, 5 o'clock in the morning, when a bomb hit across the street. I mean, I lived in downtown Belgrade, and the Nazis bombed Belgrade on April 6th.
Could you describe a little more about what that was like? I mean, what did you eat? What did it smell like?
Well, first of all, it's kind of claustrophobic. Everybody's, you know, squeezed in a space which was not intended to, you know, for people to be there. I mean, there were usually things like, people would keep wood because we had wood burning stoves, coal burning stoves, and the usual junk that people keep in cellars. So we were there, and what I remember is this sort of very strange sound of as the bombs kind of landed, slightly muffled sound depending how far it was. And then, you know, sound of glass shattering someplace or something, you know, breaking. And then you were trying to kind of imagine what the hell could it be, you know, breaking or collapsing or whatever.
Were you very frightened or did you pretty quickly become used to that?
Well, I don't remember really being frightened. I was just the other day, I was remembering how this is 1944, bombings. There was a boy in our building who was a bit older than I was, and he had snuck out during the bombing to watch it. And his mother noticed that he was missing, so after a while, a couple of fellows brought him back. I guess he had gone on the street. And his mother started slapping him around, you know, yelling at him, saying, you know, the usual stuff, like, I'm going to kill you if you ever do this again. And I remember being more frightened of her slaps, you know, than of bombs falling.
It's much more immediate danger.
Much more immediate danger.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I have memories of kind of sudden being startled, being startled by an explosion, but not, you know, a permanent state of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, you know, in the same building, the same house where I was born, where I still have relatives, they're back in a cellar. And this is the third time in 58 years that they're being bombed. The TV studio that was destroyed about a week ago is about 100 yards from the house.
Really? So you literally have relatives in that same house?
Yeah, yeah.
And are you
in the same cast of characters in the cellar, you know? Not exactly the same. I mean, I'm missing, but
right,
a few others.
And are you in contact with them in any way?
Yes. You can call them.
You can?
Yeah. Although sometimes you can get them while the bombs are falling. I mean, people would stick a phone out of the window and you know, say, you know, listen to the sirens. I haven't heard any bombs like that, but I mean, but yes, you can reach them.
And how do they describe the atmosphere there? What is it like?
Well, you know, it's pure hell. I mean, it's, you know, bombings of cities are, I mean, despite what anybody says, are a form of collective punishment. You know, they're out to get you. You know, so it's very frightening, and it's very difficult for old people, you know, to get food, you know, to just, you know, manage their daily existence, which is, you know, typical.
If you're just joining us, my guest is the poet Charles Simic. I'd like to ask you to read the poem that precedes your essay in the book Letters of Transit.
Sure.
The poem is called Cameo Appearance.
I had a small non-speaking part in a bloody epic. I was one of the bombed and fleeing humanity. In the distance, our great leader crowed like a rooster from a balcony. Or was it a great actor impersonating our great leader? That's me there, I said to the kiddies. I'm squeezed between the man with two bandaged hands raised and the old woman with her mouth open as if she were showing us a tooth that hurts badly. The 100 times I rewound the tape, not once could they catch sight of me in that huge gray crowd that was like any other gray crowd. Trot off to bed, I said finally. I know I was there. One take is all they had time for. We ran, and the planes grazed our hair. And then there were no more, as we stood dazed in the burning city. But of course, they didn't film that.
Who's the they you're referring to in terms of filming that?
Well, actually, this all comes from once flipping channels and catching a bit of a footage of an old documentary, World War II documentary, where they show the bombing of April 6, 1941, the Nazi bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seen this many times before, but this one time there was additional footage. Just, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds of additional footage. And what was astonishing, must have been the Nazis because it was from the air. I saw my neighborhood, and I saw quite a few destroyed buildings. For the first time, I realized, you know, how many bombs fell on my head that day. What I also remember from, not so much even from that bombing, but later on from bombings, where the sort of the scene where, you know, after it's over, people, you know, walk out into the street to come out from their cellars, and the astonishment of, you know, looking down a certain block, and all of a sudden, you know, the building that stood there before, you know, is no more, I thought maybe in one of these crowds, because there are some other additional part of this documentary where they show crowds in Belgrade. I kind of imagine myself. I must have been there at this time while this was going on. Where was I exactly? Was I in the street or was I at home? So that was the conceit of the poem.
Well, Charles Simic, I'd like to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Serbian-born poet Charles Simic. His new collection of poems is Jackstraws. This is Fresh Air.